Today's lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Hear God's word. Remember our history, friends, and be warned. All our ancestors were led by the providential cloud and taken miraculously through the sea. They went through all the waters in a baptism like ours as Moses led them from enslaving death to salvation life. They all ate and drank identical food and drink, meals provided daily by God. They drank from the rock, God's fountain for them, that stayed with them wherever they were. And the rock was Christ. But just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much. And most of them were defeated by temptation during the hard times in the desert. And God was not pleased. The same thing could happen to us. We must be on guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. And we must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. First the people partied, then they threw a dance. We must not be sexually promiscuous. They paid for that, remember, with 23,000 deaths in one day. And we must never try to get Christ to serve us instead of us serving him. They tried it, and God launched an epidemic of poisonous snakes. We must be careful not to stir up discontent. Discontent destroyed them. These are all warning markers, danger, in our history books drawn down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end, and we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. And he'll always be there to help you come through it. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Richard Gribble tells a story about this old man who lived in this old stone cottage that was just badly in need of repair. Oh, he made do day by day, and he got on with his life, struggling to wrench a living from his meager land. But it was hard. And eventually the rain that leaked in on him got too heavy, and the wind around his ears was so cold. He felt like he had to do something about that gap in the wall. Now, up on the hillside, there was this ancient Celtic cross. It had stood there since time immemorial, and it was silent, uncomplaining, and the Atlantic gales that swept over it. But its very silence said something about continuity, community, interrelatedness. It had become so part of the local imagination, the story goes, that without ever really thinking about it, the people knew, with a sound instinct, that it was really important in their lives. It had something to say about what they hoped to be, and it had something to do with the coming of the kingdom. Well, the man from the cottage, who was a stonecutter actually, went up to the cross one night. It was dark out, and one of those stone arcs, he thought, would fit exactly in the hole in his wall. With that, his problem could be solved. And so, he decided he'd come the next day with a hammer and a chisel, and that he would remove it. And he smiled, perhaps uneasily, at the thought of how much warmer his house would be without all the horrible drafts and rain. So, mostly satisfied with his decision, he turned toward home, but his plans were rudely interrupted. In the distance, he saw flames rising from his cottage. And panic-stricken, he ran across the rough field and he arrived home. And how strange. When he got there, the cottage was as he left it. It wasn't on fire after all. That had all been in his imagination. How weird. Well, a few days later, his so-called common sense reasserted itself, and once again, he set off to the hill with his hammer and his chisel. Again, it was really dark, and he's looking around, you know, make sure nobody sees him. And it was just a piece of stone, after all. I mean, come on. And he needed it. And so he slowly started to chip. And the sound of the hammer against the solid head of the chisel ran through the night like the tolling of a bell, as if to alarm the heavens. But he still kept chipping. And then, remembering the strange event of his previous effort, he looked to his cottage. And again, it appeared to be up in flames. And this fire was just raging against the distant skyline. So he ran home in terror, only to find that, once again, his cottage was fine. Very strange. Well, the cold nights continued, and he just became beside himself, wondering, what do I do? What do I do? I can't stand this cold. What do I do? And finally, he just, I have to do this. I have to do this. And so he walked up the hill without looking right or left. He worked quickly, efficiently, closing off his mind against any distraction, real or imagined. And soon he had that stone ark in his sack. This time he didn't see any flames in the horizon. No flash of panic. He turned back. He walked home. And when he got home, his cottage was just a heap of smoldering ashes. The stonecutter had failed to listen to his dreams, to the warnings he'd gotten. He gave in to his temptation. His need was great. His need was legitimate. And often we too, in our needs, are tempted, and we justify them the same way. In our lesson today, during this time of Lent, Paul is trying to remind us of those who went before. Imagine being out in the desert with Moses and worrying about your basic needs being met. And God provided, and provided equally to everyone, provided the meals. But it was a rough time. And so there were those who gave in to their temptations, justifying it by saying, hey, I need XYZ. I'm out here suffering. And that's the easiest way to fall into the trap, is to look at your life, to see areas that aren't fair, aren't just, are difficult, to feel like you need something to keep you going. And it can take all different kinds of shapes. And it can impact our actions in so many, many ways. Our lives are genuinely a test. And how many of us have heard that prayer? I think of it often. So far today, God, I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been grumpy, nasty, or selfish. And I'm really glad about that, God. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and then from then, I'm going to need a lot of help. Right? Right? As soon as we enter life, everything changes. And our temptations can take such different shapes. And it's really easy for us. How often do we see people who are tempted by things that we're not tempted by? And we can tend to feel just a little superior, right? Say, for instance, there's, you know, something that you're not in the least bit interested, but somebody has to have lots of it, you know? Maybe it's cookies, and you're not into cookies. And so it's easy to say, you know, they just need a little self-control. Come on, what's the matter? But you know, when you're dealing with so many things and struggling, it can be hard. And Paul knew that. He understood that. And that's why he was telling us in this passage, he said, no test, no temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. What you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. But he can't help you if you're not keeping your eyes on him, right? If you're not keeping God's center, if you are busy and looking out for your own welfare all the time, then you won't even notice what God is putting out for you. You won't even notice what he's providing. And it's so easy. It's a story of a young couple who was recently married. And of course, you know, when you get married, there's lots of expenses, all kinds of unexpected things. You know, you have to get a place to live, you got to furnish it, there's the wedding costs, there's one thing after another. And they really like to shop as a form of therapy. And so on the weekends, you know, they'd go hit the mall together and they'd be looking at things. And there was one weekend in particular that they saw some new skiing gear and they loved to ski. So they're thinking, oh, that would be so cool. And it'd be so good for us too, right? Because get us out, get us exercising, doing physical things, get us, you know, outside, be really healthy for us. This, you know, this is probably something we ought to just go ahead and do. And the bill, $15,000 for all the equipment. Yeah, that's a hunk of change, right? And so finally they're looking at each other. I mean, they can barely afford to pay their monthly credit card payments and pay their mortgage. And they finally looked at each other and they said, okay, we are so tempted. We cannot do this. We cannot do this. But we know it's hard, don't we? It's really, really hard. So what do we do? How do we handle this? Well, I think one of the places we have to start is with prayer. We really need to be open and honest to God about those things that tempt us. We need to see it ourselves, because a lot of times the reason why we fall into temptation is because we're not paying attention. We're being mindless instead of mindful. So the starting place is centering with God and being really honest and direct about those things that tempt us and make us weak. And maybe even make a list of it. What are things in your life right now that tempt you in directions you don't want to go? Tempt you to do things that you know you probably shouldn't, ought to do. And that can take many shapes and forms. Everything from like our eating and exercise and health habits to how we monitor our money to our relationships with loved ones to the way we respond to situations that we may not like or may not be good. It starts with paying attention. Because if we're not paying attention, well, then we're just going to keep on doing whatever it is. It also means that we have to look at the areas where we tend to make excuses. I mean, how many times have we had a rough night's sleep, we're dragging, we barely have energy, and we just want to reach for that extra handful of Cheetos. And we say, listen, I just need something to help me keep going today. It's just today, right? So part of it is being mindful, knowing what are our traps? What's the bait that we tend to take? What are the things that we tend to fall for and make excuses for? Because the more that we're aware of those things, then the more we can equip ourselves to actually fight those temptations. And that leads us to the second. Have a plan. Have options. If there are things that tend to tempt you, one of the things that they continue to recommend is, you know, they talk about how nature hates a void. So you're not going to just stop, you know, having that glass of wine unless you have something else that replaces it. You're not going to just stop eating those cookies unless you have something healthy to replace it. You have to find those ways that help you to deal with it. We also really need to know that we all have those triggers. And so we need to identify, what are the triggers? What are the things that push me over the edge that make me do X, Y, Z, or make me tempted to do X, Y, Z? And finally, we need to know we're not alone, but God is there. He's with us in every single thing. What's happening to us is not new, but He's there to give us the strength to get through it. And we also have to trust Him. That gets in our way too. When we find ourselves doubting, does God really know what's best for me? Are these rules and things out there, is that really what's best for me? Or do I know better? And God actually does. That one who created us, He's got a pretty good idea of what we really need. And also the obstacles we face in getting there. Whatever is going on in your life right now that's getting in the way of your being the one God called you to be, whatever is tempting you, hand it over to God. Identify it. Know your triggers. Find replacement activities and actions. Center yourself in prayer and offer these things to Him. And let Him work in your life. He doesn't want you tempted. He wants you strong. Strong in Him. Let us pray. Almighty God, we struggle with so much in our lives, trying to do what is right and what is good, and then that something comes up that throws us off track. We pray for your strength, Lord. We pray that you would help us to beat those temptations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.